Your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 6. Worship team, thank you. And just as we turn to the book of Acts, chapter 6, I just want to also bring you greetings from Pastor Paul. Amen. And some of the men that are over there in Los Angeles, California, for their Mighty Men of Valor conference. Amen. And we're going to be seeing them back here in the next couple of weeks. And I'm excited to see what God is going to do in their lives. Because how many know when God blesses your brother or your sister, he's blessing you. Because we're a family. I mean, we're not in competition with each other. Amen. Maybe if it comes to football or some games, yeah, I'm a kind of competitive guy. When it comes to what God's doing, my gosh, when he blesses your family, you rejoice. Amen. I'm excited to see them come back. And so we're continuing in our journey on the book of Acts. But I just want to take this opportunity to thank God for my salvation. Amen. And I think I've had the privilege, well, it's a privilege in whatever you do for the Lord. It's an honor. Amen. But in this environment of being able to speak behind the pulpit, I believe I've been about 12 or 13 years ago, I spoke my first message behind the pulpit. And I can tell you, I'm just as nervous today as I was back then. Amen. How many know when you're speaking on behalf of God, it's nothing to be lazy about. Amen. You're speaking words of life. In Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 8, we're going to read a few verses. Amen. And it begins in verse 8 and it says this, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called a synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia. They began disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God.' And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, 'This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. On all who've sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel.'" Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Father God, that we have the privilege and the opportunity, Lord, to know that you are at the center of all that we do, all that we say, and all that we have. And so right now, wherever we're at in our journey, Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and to speak to our lives. Lord, my God, maybe we can be encouraged by men. Maybe we can be supported by our brothers and sisters. But Lord, we're looking for changed lives. We're looking, Father God, to be all that you've called us to be. And for that, we need your Holy Spirit. For that, we need your word. Speak to our lives today and let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know if you've ever had somebody come into your life, amen, for a short space of time and they've made a big impact on you. I don't know, it might be a day, a week, it might have been a sermon you heard. It might have been a short window that this person was a part of your life and yet they made a huge impact. I think back and every so often I never stop thinking about, it was about 10 or 11 years ago, I met somebody through my work. I was a contact worker. And what that means is I worked on behalf of the courts and the parents of children that were in foster care. And I would bring these foster children to meet their parents, watch them, and help try and reconcile them to their parents. And I remember meeting this young little girl. She was about 2 years old. And I was with her for 2 hours. And yet 11 years later, she still comes into my head. 11 years later, 12 years later, she still comes into my mind sometimes. Because she made a huge, you'll never know that she impacted my life. She was about 2 years old. And she'd been in like her fourth or fifth foster home. And yet she'll never know that she impacted my life, because that's the first time I really began to think and desire about adopting. Because I saw what some people go through and I knew that God, just like God adopted you and I, that there was a desire that was birthed in my life that I wanted to see the same thing done to people around me. And it was only by the grace of God I didn't know that I was going to meet Miranda and we would be able to adopt two children. But yet that young lady in my life, she impacted me. And in this story right here of a man by the name of Stephen, we meet a man that came onto the scene real quick and he left the scene real quick, but he made a huge impact. Because how many know it's not about how long you're doing something, it's the quality you do it with. How many know some people pray for 3 hours and they get nowhere? But some people can get down and all of a sudden they're back up on their knees. Yeah, heard God, I'm on it. It's not that simple for me. I'm kind of in the middle somewhere. But how many know it's the quality that you do something with? And right here, before we go into verses 8 to 15 with the life of Stephen, just to do a quick recap. We see so far in the book of Acts that God has shown himself to be faithful to build his church. He's faithful to empower his people. And he's faithful to be with us in times of struggle. God has shown those three things to us. And we saw last week that as the church was growing supernaturally, it's talking about thousands of people being added to the church, people getting saved daily, not just on a Sunday, not just on a Friday night at gang service, not just at your connect group, not just at prayer night, but people were getting saved daily. Because how many know the church isn't just 1, 2, 3, 4 walls? The church is wherever you go, the church goes, which can be good and it can also not work so well. You've always got to be on your guard, amen. But God is moving through our lives wherever we go. And God was adding to that church daily. Growth was happening quickly. But how many know, no matter how quick you grow, no matter how good things might look, you can't bypass God's process. You can't take a sidestep from the journey that God wants to have you on. See, sometimes if you ever watch those long distance races, you see the people that go out ahead, right? They begin sprinting ahead and you think, my gosh, that person is looking good. But they're just there, they drop out after one lap because they're just to set the pace. But it's the people coming behind that are the ones that are going to finish the race. And so no matter how quick this church grew, this church couldn't sidestep the fact that sometimes issues arise. Sometimes situations come up. Man, I've seen some people, man, they get saved, they are on fire. You hear the words coming out of their mouth. My gosh, there's like doves on their tongue, tongues of fire. And you hear them, Pastor, I'm with you the whole way. Listen, I've got your back. No one will ever take me from your side. I'm with you. I'm going down with you. And you hear all the words. And then the following week, you don't see them. Because sometimes it's not about how quick you grow. It's the quality of your growth. It's the quality of the steps you take. Listen, I can take one step in front of the other and reach my destiny quicker than someone that jumps 20 times and then stops. Sometimes it's taking that one step. And the church encountered some challenges. Amen. They began to miss, I think Anton put it really brilliantly this morning. If you didn't get a chance to listen to his message, I encourage you to go on the podcast, amen. He shoots from the hip and he shoots direct, but he hits his target, amen. It was a good message this morning. I encourage you to listen to it. But what had taken place in the church is that people began to get missed in their needs. Because how many know each and every person that comes through these doors has a need? Each and every, whether you've been saved 20 years or whether you've been not even saved yet, there's a need that's represented in every life. And because so many people had come in, people's needs were getting missed. And so what the apostles did, they chose seven men that would be able to meet the needs of the people, seven men that would be able to serve the people, be by the people's side, pray with them. Make sure that they were getting what they needed. Make sure that they were growing and flourishing to be all that God had called them to be. And one of these men came by the name of Stephen. One of these men came by the name of Stephen. He was a man that, as the scriptures say, was full of the Holy Spirit, was full of wisdom and grace and power. That's some good words to describe your life, amen? To know that you're described as someone with power, someone with grace and wisdom. But you see, this is the thing, is that the church had grown so quick. You saw Greek-speaking people, Aramaic-speaking people. You saw Africans and Turkish, Hebrews. You saw people from the Middle East. You saw people all over. But you see, what had begun to happen, or what can happen, is that when churches grow quick, when churches grow big, it's easy for cliques to happen. It's easy for people just to go to the ones they're comfortable around. It's easy for people to gather around the people that make them feel better about themselves. But what needed to happen was we needed more people to rise up in this church right here. They needed more people to take the reins so that no one was missed. No one was sitting by themselves. No one had a prayer need that went unmet. And so they chose seven men. And the man that we're going to focus on this morning is a man by the name of Stephen. Stephen comes from a Greek word, Stephanos, which means crown. I love that name, crown. The crown represents victory and authority. Stephen was a man of victory, and Stephen was a man of authority. You know, I remember just before, my wife and myself have been here in Vichurch Manchester. This is our home. Amen. But we've been here for about 13, 14 months now. And I remember visiting this church when we used to be part of Vichurch London. I remember visiting this church in 2013. And we came to the prayer night, because how many know Vichurch Manchester like to pray? Amen. We came to the prayer night, and then we came and we testified on the Sunday. And I remember walking into this sanctuary, and I believe it still applies today. And it applies to your family and to your children and your children's children. That we came in and I recognized a certain spirit that was in this church. And I remember testifying, and I mentioned, and I didn't know that it was spoken by different people. But I mentioned that Vichurch Manchester is a church of victory. It's a victorious church. It's a church where people see breakthroughs. It's a church where people get restored. It's a church where people find their purpose and their destiny. And I remember seeing it and seeing the victory in people's lives. And then when I came to the church to join it, I realized how true those words are, that we are people of victory. Whether you've been in this church from the day it started, or whether you've joined this church just today or come to visit, I want to let you know you've come into an atmosphere and an environment of victory. That whatever you're going through, whatever you faced, that God has given you the victory, because God is fighting for you. God is fighting with you. God is fighting by your side. That makes you a person of victory. I don't know. I don't stay quiet about those things. That when I know that I've got victory, you see football teams, I think Chelsea are probably going to win the league today. They're going to start celebrating. I know that my team didn't get promoted. They're not celebrating. But if you're a person of victory, you've got a reason to celebrate and shout, because you know that when God is for you, that no man or circumstance can be against you. You see, Stephen came onto the scene real quick. But what we notice about Stephen is before he was ever seen visually, before he was ever noticed publicly, before he was ever validated by people, he was already a man of faithfulness. He was already a man of honor, a man that was full of the Spirit. You see, whether he was in public or private, whether he was seen or unseen, his standards didn't change. Whether he got a pat on the back or people walked past him, he didn't change what he was about. Whether people told him what an amazing person he was, or whether people told him what a crazy person he was, he didn't change his standards and his values. You see, one thing I've learned is that your character will validate your gift, not the other way around. Your gift doesn't validate your walk with God, your character does. And your character gives birth to the fruit of God in your life. Your character gives birth to the purpose and the destiny that God has placed over your life. And it's in that place where your character's formed. It's in that place where your character's shaped, whether people see it or not. Fight your battles in private. We heard it at the gang on Friday. Fight your battles in private. Win your battles. I believe Stephen won his battles right there before he was even raised up or noticed by people. He was already wearing that crown. He was already a man, a woman of victory, because that's what God's called us to be. Character validates gifting. We need to be people of character. D.L. Moody said it like this: if I take care of my character, then my reputation will take care of itself. He said that one more time. If I take care of my character, then my reputation will take care of itself. And Andre Moreau said this: if you create an act, then you create a habit. If you create a habit, then you create a character. And if you create a character, you create a destiny. But it begins with an act. Begins with a choice. You see, Stephen went very quickly. This is what gets me about God. I love this about God. He went very quickly from serving on the tables to witnessing in within the church to supporting his brothers and sisters. The next verse, it says that he was working in signs and wonders. How many people you've ever been plunged into a situation that you didn't feel ready for? How many times you've ever found yourself in a situation that you felt was too big for you, ever felt was too difficult for you? See, God doesn't place you into anything that he's not already equipped you for. You see, Stephen is a great testimony of how a faithful life meets the perfect timing of God, then anything can happen. When a faithful life meets the perfect timing of God, then anything is possible. We serve a God where anything is possible. The Bible speaks about appointed times. There was an appointed time for Abraham and Sarah to have a child. The Bible says that in the fullness of time, Christ came into the world. There was an appointed time for you and I to receive the gospel. How many people know that God wasn't one day early and he wasn't one day late? But he came right on time. Late, the Bible says, late in the midnight hour. Amen. He turns things around. See, he found out that when you're working in God's window, when you're working in God's timing, then nothing is too difficult and nothing is too great. You see, with Stephen, we don't really have an idea of his age. We don't really have an idea of whether he was married or single, what his background was, what his education looked like. We don't know too much about Stephen's background. But what I love about that is it tells us that, you know what, your background doesn't define your destiny. Sometimes you don't need to know the background because God raises up whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you're churched or unchurched, whether you're black or white. I thank God, man, this is not a black church or a white church. This is God's church. It's not an old church or a young church. This is God's church. We are God's people, no matter where we've come from and no matter what we've been through. Man, I was unchurched. I was an unchurched guy. And when I say unchurched, I mean unchurched. I didn't know the airs and the graces when you get saved. I didn't know that when you got saved, everything was meant, all these different things were meant to change. I didn't know who Jesus was. I'd never heard his name until I stepped foot into Victory Outreach. I was from a little town called Scarborough, where there wasn't really a lot of churches. And if they are, they don't come out and see the young people that are on the street. But I thank God that no matter what my background looked like, no matter what your background's been today, nothing is too difficult for God to begin to touch your life, place his favor upon you, and begin to do what it is that he desires to do. You see, one of the themes that you see in the book of Acts is that any time the gospel is spreading, any time that God is doing something great, any time that you're growing and you're pressing in and you're making decisions for Christ, opposition will come. Any time, you see, some people that don't want to grow, devil might leave you alone for a while. But when you want to press in and you want to see God do great things, expect opposition. Expect discouragement or fear to come against you. But like we sang that song, when God is for you, when God is with you, if there's one thing we learned from the book of Acts, is whether the church was growing or whether the church was under persecution, whether people were getting imprisoned or whether they were out on the streets preaching, God was no less with them in the prison cell than he was on the street corner. He was no less with them in their family home than he was in the church meeting. When God is with you, then no one can be against you. You see, but what we see right here in this portion of scripture is that Stephen, it says, was opposed by so many different types of people. When you read it right there, if we read it one more time, just this part. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of freedmen, the Cyrenians, the Alexandrians, and rose from Cilicia and Asia. They were disputing with Stephen. He got opposition from every angle. How many people you ever feel like, whichever way you turn, whoever you talk to, whatever morning you wake up, whatever side of the bed you get out of, whichever way you brush your teeth, whichever person you call first, whatever job you've got, that there just seems to be opposition. That no matter where you turn, I can imagine Stephen walking down those streets, and it says that five different synagogues, five different groups of people, sets of people, we're not just talking about one or two people, we're talking about hundreds and thousands of people were turning against him, were challenging him. And sometimes you have those seasons in your life that whichever way you turn, whatever you try and do, it just seems like you can't do anything right. You can't seem to get where you want to get to. And Stephen faced that situation. He was even turned on by his own people. You see, Stephen was a Greek-speaking Jew. And it says that the Alexandrians, who were Greek-speaking Jews, they turned on him as well. You see, have you ever had to let go of something that seemed too hard to let go of? Stephen had to come face to face with the people that knew him better than anyone else. He had to come face to face with the people that understood him better than anyone else understood him. And he had to experience.